Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible says in Exodus chapter number 15, verse number 22, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they were come," here's the word I'm interested in, "when they were come to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, when he had cast into the waters, the water was made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.' And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees." The Bible said this, "and they encamped there by the waters." Look back in verse number 23. "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter." And I want to talk to you about this right here for just a little while tonight. Some lessons you'll learn when you get to Marah. Some lessons you'll learn when you get to Marah. Father, I pray that you add a blessing to the reading of your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd meet the need of this service in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Some lessons you'll learn when you get to Marah. I began looking at this passage again and studying on this again. Whenever you begin studying Exodus chapter number 15 or the book of Exodus in general, you'll find that it's the book of redemption is what it is. The children of Israel had been in Egypt, had been in bondage in Egypt. The children of Israel had been in a place for years now that they was wondering if God would ever deliver them out of Egypt's land and from Pharaoh's bondage. We know that in studying this, we read of this deliverance in chapter number 15. Chapter number 15 is the great crossing of the Red Sea. Matter of fact, that's a good lesson if your material don't come in. It's the great crossing of the Red Sea. The children of Israel, again, had been in bondage. Pharaoh has decided to let them go. But then as soon as they leave, God hardens the heart of Pharaoh. Did you hear that? God hardens the heart of Pharaoh, and the people of Israel is leaving, and the Israelites, as they're making their exodus from Egypt that night, comes to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army is pursuing 600 chosen chariots, is pursuing after the children of Israel. They get to the Red Sea, and they're at a bad place in their life. Here's the reason they're at a bad place. The Red Sea's in front of them. The Egyptian army is behind them. And there's a mountain on the other side and a desert on the other side. We could say it this way. They're in between a rock and a hard place right here. What are they going to do? So you know what they do? They do what any good fundamental independent Baptist does. They begin to murmur against the man of God. It's Moses' fault. Moses brought them there. Moses has told them to do this. Moses has said this. So they complain against Moses. Instead of falling down on their knees and praying, "God, what would you have us to do? God, we're in a tight place. God, we left according to your will. What would you have us to do? God, lead our man of God. God, instruct our man of God. God, help our man of God." No, they begin to murmur. Well, Moses says this, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." That's a good thing to do, by the way, when you don't know what to do, is just stand still and wait on God. Amen? So they stand still. Moses tells them to stand still. They do that. Moses takes his rod, stretches it across the Red Sea, and they go across on dry ground. Man, what a miracle that day. Matter of fact, one commentator said that the waters parted a mile and a half to the right and a mile and a half to the left. 3 miles is what he estimated that the waters parted that night for the children of Israel to cross over on dry ground. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It was dry ground. You say, why was it dry ground? Because the Bible said it. We're in a day and age today where preachers and independent Baptists is getting in this routine of questioning the King James Bible. Is it really true? Is it really? Hey, hear me and hear me well. It means what it says. It says what it means. I don't need anything else. I've got what I need in this. Amen. Quit putting a question mark where God's putting a period at. Amen. So they go across on dry ground. They get to the other side. Here's something. Man, I wish I had 2 hours of preach in me. I got 4 hours of preach in me. I wish I could get it out. Here's what happens. It's so interesting, though. When you read this story, when you get home tonight, that cloud, that Holy Spirit that God has given, that cloud goes behind them and makes it light for them to cross the Red Sea that night and makes it complete darkness, and the Egyptians can do nothing. They have to just stop while the Israelites cross the Red Sea that night. They get to the other side. And the Egyptian army comes in behind them. And the Bible says this, that the chariot wheels run off of the 600 chosen chariots. And when they get to the middle, the waves crash in. And God kills the Egyptians that day at the Red Sea. Well, the children of Israel get on the other side. And guess what? They're praising God now. They've watched the Egyptians die, and they're praising God. They go 3 days, though, in the wilderness. Matter of fact, they say, from everything that I've studied, it's been estimated 2.5 million that's made the crossing. They go 3 days in the wilderness, and in 3 days in the wilderness, they run out of water. They don't have no water. They begin to complain again, and they come to a body of water that's called Marah. Now, can you imagine 3 days with no water, and now you see water? You're excited. Thank God. Here's water. God's took care of us again. But then when they get to the water, guess what? They can't drink of the water because the water's bitter. In other words, what they thought was going to be their deliverance was. Now, I say this to you. This ministry of Marah right here, just real quick, was a ministry of no current interpretation. They could nobody explain why they was going through what they was going through. They could nobody explain why they was listening to God. They was walking in the footsteps of God. They was doing everything God said do. And all of a sudden, they don't have water. All of a sudden, when they see water, it's bitter water. They can't drink of it. You cannot explain sometimes why things are going the way that they're going. You can't explain. You can be trying your best to live for God. You can be trying your best to do what's right. You can be trying your best to study. You can be trying your best to pray. You can be trying your best to do everything that you know to do right. And all of a sudden, it seems like your world crashes in around you. Here probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, we was working over in the building, and my phone rung one Monday evening. And I told the guys that was working, I said, look, I've got to get this. I said, this individual don't call me all the time. I really feel like I need to answer this. And I walked outside. Whenever I walked outside, I answered the phone. I ended up going to my office and sitting down. And one of the gentlemen from our church began to talk to me. He began to cry, and he said, preacher, he said, this and this has happened. He said, I really don't know what to do. And then he said this, I'll never forget it. He said, preacher, if I've ever in my life tried to live my life right and do what was right, if I've ever tried my best to have the right testimony, it's right now. He said, preacher, I don't understand this. And I'm telling you, man, his world was crashing in around him. He said, I don't understand this, preacher. And I said, you know what, sir? I don't understand it either. But we've got to know God don't make any mistakes. And the more we try to do for him, And the more that we try to live for Him, and the more that we try to grow our church, and the more that we try to reach souls for the gospel of Christ, the more the devil's going to come against us, and the more the devil's going to fight us. When we get tomorrow in our life, I'm going to tell you something, church, we're not going to understand it sometimes. They found themselves at Marah. But when they got there, there were some things that they learned there that they could have learned nowhere else. You see, it's easy. It's easy to shout when everything's fine. It's easy to say amen when everything's fine, when all the bills are being paid, when everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, whenever you've got food in the cupboard, whenever everything's going smooth at the church, whenever you go to the doctor and everything's fine one day, and within 2 or 3 weeks later everything ain't fine and they're trying to figure out what's wrong, then we begin to wonder. Then, maybe I'm the only one, then we begin to wonder. But there's some lessons that we can learn there that we can learn no other place. Some lessons that's learned at Marah. Can I say this, number one? I would say this to you tonight. There's lessons learned about life. There's lessons learned about life. You know, we have, in our mindset, the way we think life is supposed to be. We have in our mindset the way we think life is supposed to be. We have in our mindset that as long as we're living for God, everything's going to be fine. As long as we're doing what's right, everything's going to be fine. Have you ever noticed, though, that it seems it's always the good guy that dies? You ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed in a fatal accident, Brother Brian, that it's not the drunk that dies, it's always the good person that dies. It's not the kid that's not going to church that dies. It's the kid that goes to church so many times, Brother Aaron, that we end up cutting out of a vehicle. You let me tell you why. Here's why. There's lessons learned about life at Marah, and one of them is this. You'll learn that life is a mixture. Life is a mixture. Matter of fact, I'm almost positive it was my dad one day that I was talking to, and I said, Dad, I said, I don't understand. I don't understand why it seems to always be the good person that dies. And Daddy looked at me, and here's what he said. He said, well, have you ever thought about it this way? The good person was saved and on their way to heaven. God knew the other person wasn't, so God decided to show mercy and grace to that individual for another chance of salvation, and decided to show grace to the family of the good person that got saved to help them through this time, because He knew He could help them in a dying grace and He couldn't the other one. Life is a mixture tonight. Life is not always going to be blessings. It's just not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. Let me tell you the reason why. Because we learn in the time of mixture in our life. We learn from that. If our life was always blessings, and our life is full of blessings, somebody say amen right there. But if that's all our life was, how much would we trust God? How much faith would we put in God? How much would we lean on God? You know what? If it hadn't been for the bad times, if it hadn't have been for the bad times, we really wouldn't know much about the grace of God. We would know about His saving grace. We would know about His, but we wouldn't really know about His sustaining grace. Let me tell you, when we get close to God, it's in those bad times. You can say what you want to. It's those bad times that draw us closer to Him. It is a mixture. They've lived on a high. They've experienced the sweet banks of deliverance at the Red Sea. Now it's time that they've got to learn a little bit about the bitter times in our life. About none of us like the bitter times. None of us enjoy the bitter times. Boy, I don't enjoy the bitter times. I don't enjoy those phone calls like I got that Monday afternoon. Let me tell you the reason why. Because I hurt with those families. Matter of fact, I went straight to my wife and I said, look, we've got to pray for this couple right here. I said, we've got to pray that God would help them. I said, honey, it's times like this that people get mad at God, that people get bitter at God, that people quit on God. But when Marah comes, we've got to learn the lesson of life is a mixture. Life is a mixture. Can I say this to you tonight? The Bible said this in Job 14:1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He's of a few days and full of trouble. The Bible said this in Job 5:7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Listen to what he said in Ecclesiastes 2:17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. What will we learn at Marah? We'll learn that life is full of lessons. What is it? Life has a lesson about a mixture. But life not only has a mixture. Can I say this to you? Life has a master. Life has a master. Life has a master. I've thought so much about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the past, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks. And when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was fixed to be thrown into the fiery furnace, they talked to the king Nebuchadnezzar, and they said this, said, if you throw us in, God will deliver us. They said, God will deliver us. And then they said this, the beginning of the next verse says this, but if not. You know what they were saying? They were saying this, we're trusting God to deliver us. But if God doesn't deliver us, but if not, they're saying this, we're still going to trust Him. We're still going to serve Him. We're still going to believe Him. Let me tell you the reason why life does have a master. Life does have a master. And you know who that master is if we're saved tonight? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have somebody today that we can turn to. We have somebody today that we can lean on. We have somebody today that when it seems that we can't talk to Him, He still hears us. There's times, you know, I thought about this. You'll come to places in your life spiritually. I'm not the oldest saved person here tonight. I've not been saved the longest here tonight. I've been saved going on 30 years now. I've been preaching now over 25 years. I've been pastoring 18 years, so I have been around just a little bit now. And I've learned this. I've learned this in recent days. There's times that I feel like I can't talk to Him. There's times that you'll get to places in your life where you'll feel like that you can't talk to Him. You can be saved. You can be serving God. But it'll seem that the heavens are brass. But there's never been a time that I couldn't hear Him. There's been times where it felt like I couldn't talk to Him. But there's never been a time that standing somewhere in the shadows that I couldn't hear His voice. And a sweet, still, small voice. No, He didn't scream at me. He didn't scream. It wasn't an audible voice. It was louder than that. He's always there. You'll learn at Marah that life has a master. I'm glad that we have somebody. What did he say? He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. I thought about this. There's 17 personal pronouns in Psalms 23. 17. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You can read Psalms 23 this way. The Lord is Jonathan's shepherd. Jonathan shall not want. He maketh Jonathan lie down in green pastures. Are you hearing me tonight? We have a master tonight. We have a master. I thought about this. I'll give you this one and then I'll be done tonight. I thought about this. We learn a lesson about life. Life has a master. Life is a mixture. But I thought about this. Life has a ministry. Life, when you get to Marah, you learn that life has a ministry. God allows things to happen in our life for a reason. You've heard me say this before. Sometimes we cause our own troubles. Amen. Sometimes we cause our own troubles. Brother David gave the illustration this morning of getting drunk and running into a tree and cutting your leg off. God had nothing to do with that storm in your life. That was not God's will for that to happen to you. You say, oh, yeah, preacher, that was the will. No, it's never the will of God for you to go get drunk. Amen. I don't have the energy or time, but that's never the will of God. And when you do something like that, if you go tonight, if I go cheat on my wife tonight and my wife leaves me and my ministry's over, that was not the will of God. I brought that storm on my own life, and there is going to be consequences of that. Are you hearing me tonight? But also, there is times when you're walking in the center of God's will. You're doing what God has for you to do, and your world's just turned upside down. God brings that storm in your life. Job's the prime example of that. Job was living for God. Job was doing what God wanted him to do. And all of a sudden, man, Job loses everything. In a day, he loses the confidence of his wife. She gets mad at him. She tells him to curse God and die. I'm not saying she was wrong in saying that. However, I'm not judging her. I don't know how I would act. You don't know how you would act if you lost everything in a day. There's 10 kids that she's walked through the jaws of death to deliver. And they're all killed in one accident. One time, one servant shows up, looks at Job and says, man, all 10 of your kids are dead. All of his finances is gone. His flesh is touched. He's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His world's turned upside down. You know what? I've studied the book over and over and over. Brother Ramsey, I can't find no reason for it. I can't find no reason in 42 chapters that God says, here's the reason that happened. Here's the reason, Job. Here's what you've done to deserve that. I don't know that you'll find anything you've done to deserve. Here's what happened. God put him there in a Mara in his life because it has a ministry. It has a ministry. How many times have we found comfort from the book of Job? Why? Because there was a ministry there for his life when he got to Mara. The Bible says this, Psalms 84, verse number 6. Who passing, here's the key word to this verse, through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. That word Baca right there, if you don't care to come start playing softly, that word Baca right there, many of you have heard me preach on that, but it is a valley, the valley of Baca, and the meaning of that is weeping. It's the valley of weeping. It's the valley of tears. The Bible said this, who passing through, did you catch that word? Who passing through the valley of Baca, who passing through it, make it a, here's your next key word in that, a well. Make it a well. If you got any water out of the water fountain tonight, or if you washed your hands, or if you used the restroom and flushed the commode, and I hope you did if you used the restroom and washed your hands. But you've done that. Nobody sitting in this room dug the well that water came out of. Nobody here dug that well. But you enjoyed the benefit of that well that someone else had dug. Say, preacher, what are you saying? The Bible said this, who passing through, in other words, the valley's not meant to stay in. It's not meant to stay at. He said, who passing through it makes a well. Why does the Lord want us, the ministry, why does the Lord want us to make a well? Because you know what? Somebody else is going to go through that valley. And they're going to need some water to drink while they're there. They're not going to be able to dig a well theirself right then because of the pain that they're in. But you know what they can do? They can find a well that somebody else has dug. I thought about this, and I could give numerous illustrations, but I thought about this. Miss Tina and I went to school together. And we was close friends in school. Then after school, you know the way life is. You kind of go your separate ways. And when Brother Easter passed away, she came through the line. And I told her, I said, why don't you come to church? It's the first time I'd seen her in years. Her and Brother Brian, it may have even been the next Sunday, came and has been here ever since. But not long after, she began coming and we got reacquainted. Her daddy got sick and loved to play music. And matter of fact, I think the last time he sung in church, me and you and Brittany and him sung together here. But he became sick and didn't make it long. Ended up passing away. And I was there with her when her dad passed away. And then just a few years ago, her mom became sick. Was there with her when her mom passed away. Been there when she's buried both of her parents. If the Lord hastens his coming and I outrun my mom and dad, you know what's going to happen one day? I'm going to walk through a valley of Becca that she's already been through. And you know what I'm going to need? I'm going to need to drink out of the waters of the well that she's already dug there. She's got one of two things she could have done during that time. She could have got bitter at God and walked away from God and quit church and said this and that or the other. Or she could labor in the valley. The valley's not easy. Coming out of the valley's not easy. Amen. Coming out of the valley's never easy. It's hard on your vehicle to come out of a valley. It's hard on an animal. If you're riding a horse to come out of a valley, it's hard on you. One of the things that Leslie and I and the girls love to do, is probably our favorite pastime besides church, is chase waterfalls. We love to hike into waterfalls. I love it. I love it. And it's never easy. Matter of fact, one of the last ones we done, I didn't know if we was going to come out of it. I didn't think there was going to be a well in that valley. I thought there was going to be a grave in that valley. But we finally, it's never easy. When it comes to a spiritual valley in your life, it's not easy to come out of it. You can get bitter there, or you can dig and make a well there and God bring you out of it. So when the day comes that somebody else gets there, you can slip up beside them and say, hey, look, I've been here before. I know I don't feel like you do because everybody feels different. Don't ever tell me you know how I feel. You don't know how I feel. Okay, I don't mean that ugly. I don't know how you feel. You'll never hear me look at you and say, I know how you feel, and I know what you're going through. No, I don't, because everybody takes things differently. But I will say this, God knows how you feel. You're probably not going to hear me say, how are you doing? You're going to hear me say, how are you holding up? Because you're not doing good. You're not doing good. It's hard. But in the valley, we can make a well and pass through that valley. So when the next person gets there, we, through the help of God, can be a help to them. The ministry, life has a ministry. Life has a ministry. And God will help you minister to somebody else after He's ministered to you and brought you through the valley. Who passing through the valley? God did not put us here to stay. God didn't put us in the storm to stay. God didn't put us in the valley to stay. Job said, all the appointed days of my life will I wait till my change comes. You know what Job was saying? Either here or there. Either here or on the other side. God's going to bring me out of this. God's going to bring us out of this. We can't sit back. Boy, God, I just don't think we realize how good God's been to us. Brother Charles said there was 6 empty parking spaces last Sunday morning. 6. That was it. Look here. We can't just sit back and live on a honeymoon with God and not expect Mara, and not expect hard times, and not expect the devil to come against us, and the devil to attack us, and the devil to try to destroy our church, and the devil to jump on our homes. We can't, hey, who do we think we are? We're not above the storms of this life. We're not above the devil attacking our homes. We're not above that. But what we must remember is that when we get tomorrow, life is a mixture. Life's going to teach us some things. But if we'll stay true to Him, He'll stay true to us. And boy, one day, we can come out on the other side, that individual that I talked about on just a few minutes ago, that Monday that called me. I wish I could tell you how we watched God. It was God. That's the only thing you could say about it. Take a situation that was going to potentially destroy a family financially. And you know, when you get destroyed financially, there's a lot of other things get destroyed right in behind that. How God took that situation and flipped it right around and fixed every bit of it in one or two phone calls. When they told me about it, I told my wife, and I started crying. And I thought, that's God. That's just all you can say. That's God. That's Him. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of. May we stay true to Him, because He stays true to us. When we can't track Him, we can trust Him.